Monday through Friday at noon. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind coming up at this hour. And once again, big thank you to all those listeners who have donated so generously during our most recent drive. We'll make sure that whatever premium that you requested during the drive will be fulfilled as soon as possible. Just make sure that you fulfill your pledge. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind coming up.
Everybody, Ben Starr and Kevin O'Donohue with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. We're back from our fun drive. I want to send a big thank you to everyone who contributed, who helped out with WBAI's fun drive this summer. We can't tell you how much it means to us. As always, you know we can't do this without you. WBAI is fully listener supported. And it's only through the contributions and generosity of listeners like you that we're able to continue to bring you the programming that you know and love. And today, my friends, we are going to explore a topic that is, well, Kevin, I'd say it's almost universally relatable. Would you agree?
I think so. Internationally, culturally.
Certainly. Yeah, it's a universal topic. We're talking about a mental and emotional condition that is increasingly prevalent, actually. And may affect up to one half of all Americans. So if you're not affected by this personally, then you are almost certainly associated with someone who is, whether it's a friend, a family member, or a coworker. And the condition we're talking about today, this mental and emotional condition that is so prevalent, that is so widespread, that affects so many people from all walks of life, is social anxiety. And for our purposes today, we're going to call it shyness.
Yeah.
And shyness, really, is something that we've actually seen increasingly prevalent, Kevin. It's on the rise.
Why is that? Yeah.
Well, I think there's a lot of cultural reasons. I think certainly technology has played a role. Hmm. Think about the changes in communication that have happened over the last 5, 10, 15 years, 20 years.
It kind of makes sense. You can hide if you're already congenitally shy, you can hide a little bit or even practice a little bit with social media on a computer, in the internet, Facebook, and other places. But stay shy.
That's
the only
true
way to get over shyness is to challenge it.
And we're living in an age where there's less and less requirement, there's less and less need for social face-to-face interaction.
Isn't it true?
Social interaction has migrated to different avenues.
Yeah.
So there's fewer and fewer instances of face-to-face interaction. Like you said, Kevin, cell phones, social media have reduced that to a largely digital experience for many people, even text messaging. So shyness is on the rise. Social anxiety is on the rise. And, of course, there are genetic components, and there are components that come down to your social upbringing and your cultural upbringing. And we're going to talk about that.
Certain cultures are more shy than others.
That's right.
And certain ethnic families can be shy, more shy than others. It'd be a good focus of a show to see how shyness affects certain cultures, certain ethnic backgrounds, and have callers from different backgrounds to talk about their struggle with shyness.
Yeah. And just in some research that we've done, we've found that countries and cultures that tend to be most affiliated with shyness are Northern European, Scandinavian countries, and Eastern Asian countries.
Really?
Yeah.
So, Japan?
Certainly Japan, Korea, China. And then, you know, in Northern Europe, we've seen countries frequently mentioned as particularly shy cultures. Finland, Denmark, Sweden, Austria. So, it's very interesting, and we want to explore more of this. But for now, Kevin, I'm wondering, where does shyness How is it a defense mechanism? How do you see people using shyness and maybe using social anxiety to their benefit as a way to protect themselves?
Well, I think it's safe to be in your own shell. You know, so right there, I think people retreat to shyness because it's safe inside. It's safe inside your own mind, generally speaking. And so it's a challenge, especially if you're from a shy culture. I mean, to ask a Japanese person to all of a sudden effuse their emotions or share their thoughts, you know, is a big, big challenge. Whereas if you take somebody from America, America is not a shy country in general, even though we're experiencing it. And I think internationally, everybody experiences it. We're more challenged not to be shy here in the country. So it's a kind of retreat. You know, I see shyness as a temporary mechanism to try and collect yourself well enough in order to meet the challenge, meet the pressure of the environment. I know that I've experienced shyness. I mean, have you been?
I certainly have. And I think that shy people in general, if you want to talk about the intense introvert, they tend to be thinkers. They tend to be deep thinkers. They're people who reflect. And, you know, that may not necessarily be the worst thing.
Yeah.
Right? That can be, in some ways, an advantage. But as you pointed out, we live in a country, we live in a culture where shyness is not the celebrated social norm.
And
right?
Introversion is not really championed.
We culturally reward extroversion. We reward gregariousness.
Yes.
We reward risk-taking.
Yeah.
In general.
And think of salespeople. You know, I mean, America is selling something. A lot of what we do is we sell things to the world. And a salesperson, to be shy and be a salesperson is an oxymoron.
It's never going to work.
It's just not going to work.
Right.
So, you know, there's a pressure in this culture to constantly be coming out of your shell, yourself. And it can be really, really stressful for people. But I don't want people to get the idea that just because you're shy, you're automatically an introvert. There are, you know, shy people want to connect. They just don't know how to. Introverted people don't have any trouble connecting when they want to.
So is this a square and a rectangle situation?
Yeah,
like a rectangle is not necessarily a square, but a square is a rectangle, sort of thing?
It could be, but I mean, to help people more, I think it's more of a square and a circle because introverts get a bad rap being labeled shy, and it's really that they just might, like you said, be thinking.
But would you say that the introverted personality type is more likely to experience shyness and social anxiety?
That's a really good question. I think we need to research it more. I would say the likelihood, simply because of the habit of being alone with your own thoughts, that introverts seem to enjoy more than extroverts. But, you know, there's a physical component to shyness. You know, when people's heart rate goes up when they're in a shy circumstance, introverts might not necessarily feel those physical reactions that people have when they're feeling shy.
And on the flip side, there are extroverted people who are also shy. Is that right?
They sure are. I mean, Johnny Carson would be a famous example. Here was a guy out every night, you know, talking to America, and yet he was a famously shy guy.
And David Letterman as well.
David Letterman.
Right? David Letterman retired.
We don't see him.
You know, he dropped off the face of the earth. He's like living in the woods somewhere with a big beard.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's got his perfect career now. He gets to be extroverted when he wants to be and away from the public.
You're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI. I'm Ben Starr, joined in the studio as always by Kevin O'Donohue. And today we're talking about social anxiety and shyness and social phobias. We're going to explore these a little further. We're going to be taking your calls a little bit later in the program. But again, we found that as many as 50% of Americans struggle currently with shyness and social anxiety. So if this isn't something that affects you directly, then it almost certainly affects someone that's close to you in your life. And what we want to do is really bring some awareness around the experience of social phobia to try to understand what people are going through better, try to be there for them.
And well, let's take us. I mean, if we start with us, I know, you know, I've had periods of time when I've been very shy, and I can pinpoint, you know, exactly what I was feeling physically. It's a kind of like a clenching for me, it's a clenching of my stomach, and it's almost like my elbows are pressing into my stomach, and it's like it's become so painful. You know, they have that phrase, painfully shy, that I can see me in certain circumstances where I have been that truly painfully, painfully shy, almost mute. That, you know, there's, I know I'm talking a lot to myself in those situations, but I can't seem to get out any words to the person next to me. Do you, have you had that experience?
When I was much younger, as a kid. Yeah. But something happened as I grew up. I completely grew out of shyness or social anxiety, and even, I think, introversion. Because I think I started as a child, I think I was a shy introvert, and I no longer experience that.
Were your parents shy, I wonder? I mean, was your mom kind of getting over something all those years that you were shy and withdrawn?
You know, my parents are not terribly shy people.
Okay.
Certainly my I would say my father was probably less shy than my mother, at least when I was growing up. But I never, I mean, is there a link there? Would you say that it's genetic? Would you say that shy parents produce shy children?
Yes. I would say more likely than not, yes. If your parent is, if we take it to be that shyness is a defense mechanism, shyness is a protectiveness, you're protecting yourself. And if your parent is busy protecting themselves from whatever stress they're enduring, whatever they're going through in life, and parents have a tremendous amount of stress in life nowadays. But even in, you know, when we were growing up, we don't know as children what is causing their stress, but the stress is definitely making them need time to retreat and to recover. And that's what shyness can do. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean your parent was shy, but were they wounded? Were they damaged? Mm-hmm. Were they struggling? Were they depressed? What were they dealing with? So when you tell me that you were shy as a kid, but your natural orientation is to be an extrovert, it makes me wonder, it makes me think, well, maybe mom had postpartum depression, mom was going through something of her own. Maybe mom lost a parent when you were a child. You know, that's a very common...
Man, my mom's dad died right before I was born.
Wow. You know, and so there are studies showing a link between the loss of a parent to a mother prior to the birth of their child, or even in the short aftermath of the child, and its ramifications on the child. So, yes, I do think it can be inherited. It's a style. It's a, I mean, if you come from a quiet family, if you come from maybe not necessarily shy, but, a Japanese family that's not necessarily shy, they're just quiet. You know, they're just thoughtful. They're just withdrawn, but not necessarily shy. You as a child might necessarily, you might, chances are you're going to adopt that. Now, I grew up in an Irish family, you know, so we, you know, we were encouraged to either have a joke or a story to tell, you know, when we went to visit relatives or friends or neighbors or when we're in school.
Right.
So we're,
and then the shyest child in an Irish family, if you took that kid and put them in another society, another culture, if you put them in Finland or Korea, that kid might be the least shy kid in their class.
Yes. Chances are you're absolutely right. So
what do we know about shyness? I mean, we've done some research. We've looked into social anxiety, something that we've dealt with. Kevin, you've certainly helped a lot of people out with their social anxiety here at the center. What do we know? We know that the costs of shyness are actually profound, right? That the drawbacks of having a shy, socially anxious personality are numerous, starting in childhood, because they lead to lost opportunities, right? Mm-hmm. The shy child will endure more teasing, more peer rejection, right? And whether that shyness is something that is just kind of inherent or learned, that shyness will predispose any individual at any age to loneliness.
Yeah.
And
it's good to nip it in the bud. I mean, kids are going back to school in a couple of weeks. And when your child gets labeled as a shy child, you know, that's okay in the first semester of kindergarten or first semester of first grade, but if they're labeled as a shy child, it kind of tells everybody that there's permission to back off this child, that we don't know what's troubling or what's bothering this child, but the best we can do is back off. And that's exactly the time dangerous. Not to back off.
Right.
In fact, I would encourage teachers that are going back to school to make a list of the children in each class that seem to be shy. Because if it's shy, that's one thing. If it's withdrawn for a reason, that's another thing. But it's not a label you want to affix to a child, because it can be something that they hear and that they identify with.
That's right.
And so it's good to nip this in the bud. Good to explore with the child what is making them feel withdrawn or shy in the early stages of their school year. I know I remember when I was shy as a kindergarten, it took me 6 weeks to get over being shy in kindergarten. I can see myself there in that chair.
It's amazing how that
totally
memory
trying.
Is
yeah,
still
it's
there.
So amazing. You know, until we researched this topic, I didn't really think about it. But I do remember being in a state of shock, because where do you go when you go from kindergarten? In my case, I went from a family of a bunch of kids. That was all the socialization I had, to a classroom of strangers, 30 strangers. That's bound to be a shock. So I retreated into a sort of shyness, and nobody pulled me out of it, Ben, you know?
No.
Yeah. So I think we know a lot more nowadays. But it's a good thing to attack head on and help a child with their shyness. Because as you say, I mean, if you grow into being shy as an adult, I mean, you could lose, you know, a fortune. I mean, it prevents people from asking for a raise.
Oh, absolutely. And there's real consequences to shyness at every stage of life. And in adulthood, like you said, maybe preventing someone from asking for a raise. But we also know that it can lead to drug and alcohol problems,
totally.
Right? People who are dealing with these social anxieties can turn to substances to try to quell those fears and those anxious feelings. And it can also lead to sexual difficulties.
Absolutely. Well, it, you know, because, you know, sexuality is more than just the act. It's actually, you know, richer when there's conversation before, during, and after, you know. And if you're going to be called on to engage in conversation and you're not used to it, it's going to, you know, inhibit you from doing it, you know, engaging in that in the first place. So, you know, shyness is a big, big topic for mental health, because it's conquerable. We you know, as therapists, we enjoy shy people because we see tangibly the effects of just being with another human being, just me or any other therapist, is enough for, you know, the secrets or whatever it is that shy people think they have to come out and feel free. And then, of course, we have exercise to help them, encourage them to be bolder and speak in a more clear and crisp way.
And so, we know shy people are often extremely self-judgmental, extremely hard on themselves.
Yeah.
And that's part of why they stay withdrawn.
Yeah. That's part of the diagnosis, actually, with shy people. I mean, they've done studies, and in addition to heart rate and your pulse going up and butterflies in your stomach and even sweating, you know, there is this internal critic and dialogue going on in every shy person. Every shy person has a dialogue going on. I mean, if you put yourself at a party where you don't know anybody, you know, can what do you do? I mean, you can look and appear numb, but, you know, we have this narcotic of our self dialogue with each other, with ourselves, to keep us company, as it were, and to mitigate the total fear. There's a freezing that can happen with shyness. You know?
And what really was surprising to me, Kevin, was when we started looking into the statistics around social anxiety, is that only about 1 in 6 people who are classified as shy or dealing with social anxiety, only about 1 in 6 of those people actually fit the stereotypically shy, bashful type, right? Only about 1 in 6 of them are the type who are, you know, ill at ease socially, that will, you know, the person who uses every excuse to avoid a social event.
Well, there it is. That's the classic symptom, is if you're avoiding the stimuli, then it becomes a disorder. Shyness as itself is not a diagnostic code or number in the DSM. But when it becomes an anxiety, social anxiety or social phobia, when you're starting to do behaviors around, consistent behaviors around this, then it becomes a disorder.
And so, only about 1 in 6 shy people are the type to, you know, stumble over their words or fidget and, you know, have trouble making eye contact.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is, right, a behavioral expression of that shyness. And that's actually the minority of people who deal with this. The majority, 5 out of 6, are what is called privately shy. So there's no behavioral traces of this shyness. There's no behavioral manifestation. It's more subjective. So maybe they might get a pounding heart or nervous, break into a nervous sweat, but that may not be observable.
Mm-hmm.
And they may be the type who seem very at ease and confident in conversation, but they're dealing with this.
Yes, the internal critic.
Yeah, this internal critic that's just constantly criticizing themselves for being inept and wondering, hey, does the person I'm speaking with right now even like me or even want to speak to me?
Right.
And so these people, they might do well socially, but they have a lot of negative self-thought that's happening.
So it becomes a disorder when, you know, a person like that will repeat. They'll go to the next party anyway, in spite of feeling that negative voice or whatever. They're not necessarily going to never go out anymore.
Right.
It becomes a disorder when you avoid that stimuli, that situation all the time.
So that was very interesting to me, Kevin. And that statistic comes out of the University of Pittsburgh from Dr. Paul Pelkonis in the psychology department there.
Yeah.
Found that actually 5 out of 6 people struggling with shyness and social anxiety are actually what's called privately shy, meaning they're people that you would never imagine, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Johnny Carson, like the David Letterman type.
People like you and me.
Like maybe you and I.
Well, you're not so shy yourself, but I am still shy in moments, in certain environments. I can count on being shy. And it is a private affair. I mean, nobody knows necessarily. You know, he's gregarious in 5 out of 6 situations. How could he be a shy person? How could he be privately shy? But the truth is, I'm definitely very shy in certain circumstances. So I'm not surprised by 5 out of 6. I think probably everybody out there has had moments, maybe years, of shyness that they seem to get away from and assimilate better and then get returned to it. So I'm not surprised it's 5 out of 6. But I did want to say something about when it becomes a disorder, because it's really not so much the situation. It's what people say to themselves when they're in the situation.
How so?
So if you suffer from a social anxiety, you're afraid to be evaluated. You think people are looking at you and they're thinking negative things about you. That's different than thinking yourself inadequate to go towards people. It's actually fearing that people are scrutinizing me, they're looking at me, and they're negatively evaluating me. And another is if a certain situation always brings up and provokes fear and anxiety, and intense fear and anxiety, then your chances are you have a social anxiety, social phobia. If you're actively avoiding social situations, or, you know, it becomes almost physically unbearable, because that's this component to anxiety versus shyness. Shyness, you can endure the pounding heart. You can endure the sweat. You can endure the palpitations. But when it becomes and social phobia, you become so exhausted by protecting yourself from this intense fear. Another is you've had it for at least more than 6 months. So you look back and it's just not episodic. It's not just suddenly arising in my life. I've had it. So if somebody came into my office and said, for some reason, you know, I can't go out anymore. Yes, I'd be alarmed. Yes, I would try to find out the source of this. But I wouldn't label them or code them as social phobic just yet, because it hasn't been chronic. It has to be at least for 6 months. So I wanted to parse that out. You know, avoidance seems to be a very big part of social anxiety and social phobia, whereas in shyness, you might not need to avoid it. You might continually expose yourself to the environment and try and master it, which seems to be what shy people do. But the danger is when it leads over into one additional stressor to a shy person could turn them into a social phobic.
I want to talk about some strategies that people can use to overcome their shyness, to overcome that social anxiety, a social phobia, potentially. And we have a few minutes before we're going to take a musical break and then take some of your phone calls. But right now, a few strategies that we believe are valid, that we believe can be effective, starting with just confidence, right? Where can we get confidence from? Well, it comes from action, right? Confidence comes from action, from learning, and from practice and mastery of a variety of skills, whatever the skill is you're looking for. In this situation, right, social confidence, it's the same thing. So, you know, it's not necessarily the anxiety or the shyness that is the problem. It's that avoidance that you spoke about, Kevin. The avoiding the social interactions is the problem. So eliminate that avoidance.
And neutralize the sense that you're being negatively evaluated. You know, people can use mantras, you know, that I'm strong and confident and right. and I'm where I want to be right now.
But
it sounds like trite, but a mantra simply is something like that as a way to reinforce this, to get neutralize the negativity and the fear that I'm being, you know, evaluated. Really works.
So eliminating that very self-destructive behavior of total avoidance of social interactions, of social situations, of people, that is step one. And to practice displaying that confident body language, I mean, it comes down to, you know, I mean, some of you might say fake it till you make it. And yes, you know, if you have to fake confidence, that's better than avoiding a situation entirely.
Well, it's an easy, right? I'm sorry, I just... Change your physiognomy. I mean, the standard shy person, I mean, if you walked in with a camera to a party where there was a shy person, you would be able to find
that
person.
You'd be able to pick them out of a lineup.
Because of how they're carrying themselves.
Right.
Your shoulders tend to slope. Your stomach goes recessed into your body, you know, and your head tends to be down. So, you know, change that.
Right.
You could just straighten up, breathe deep.
Make sure to make eye contact, right? You can hold your head up high.
Mm-hmm. Square your shoulders.
Right. Project your voice.
Yeah.
Don't mumble.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Look people in the eye. Shake hands. Give hugs. Right. Stand in close proximity to others. I mean, these all seem like very simple things, but these are first steps.
Well, say that one again about standing close proximity to people. It makes sense because if they're all the way across the room or if they're 5-6 feet away, then it seems like an insurmountable gulf between me and the other person. So it makes sense that if I just put myself in the proximity of the other person, that the chances are there might be something that can arise for me to talk about. Or for them to even ask me a question.
Right. And so I think the lifelong pattern of behavior of avoidance and of shyness and social anxiety, it doesn't get undone overnight, right? I think there has to be a sustained effort on all fronts in our social lives to engage. So this means engaging at every step possible. So if that means, you know, making small talk, you know, at the cashier, at the supermarket. Making small talk when you get into an elevator with someone else. I mean, there needs to be a sustained pattern of reversing a course that has been so ingrained in the psyche for so many years.
Yeah, and if your child is shy, draw them out. Make them speak to you. Make eye contact with them. Look them in the eye. I mean, I think practicing making eye contact, man, with all these merchants that you're mentioning, if you go out for coffee or something... You know, it's a lifelong habit that is reversible simply by practicing things, changing the way you stand, learning how to chit-chat. You know what chit-chat is? Chit-chat is talk without an opinion.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. So there's a variety of strategies, Kevin, and we're going to take a short musical break coming up. But when we come back... We will be taking your calls as well as discussing some more strategies for overcoming.
Can we get a focus for the calls, like people reporting on their own periods of shyness? Because one thing we didn't talk about is that often shyness arises, Ben, in transitions in life. So, for instance, kindergarten, the start of high school, the start of college, the start of a new career. I mean, these are transitions that have challenges. Everybody has to meet a new challenge. Adolescence.
Yeah.
And that the shyness arises. So we want to hear times when you felt shy and what you did to get over it.
212-757-5555. Let us know how shyness has affected your life. If you've moved past it, if you've been able to let go of social anxiety, we want to hear how you did that too. 212-757-5555. We'll be back after this.
Shyness is nice, and shyness can stop you from doing all the things in life you'd like to. Shyness is nice, and shyness can stop you from doing all the things in life you'd like to. So if there's something you'd like to try, if there's something you'd like to try, ask me, I won't say no, how could I? Coyness is nice, and coyness can stop you from saying all the things in life you'd like to. So if there's something you'd like to try, if there's something you'd like to try, ask me, I won't say no, how could I? Spending warm summer days indoors, writing frightening verse to a buck-toothed girl in Luxembourg. Nature is a language, can't you read? Nature is a language, can't you read? So ask me, because if it's not love, then it's the bond, the bond, the bond, the bond, the bond, the bond, the bond that will bring us together. If it's not love, then it's the bond, then it's the bond that will bring us together. So
Smiths here on WBAI with Ask, a little song about shyness there we thought we'd share with you. You are listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue as we discuss social anxiety, social phobia, and shyness today. And we have a
And there's
caller.
A line in there, right, where the people are spending all summer days indoors where, you know, it's a fermented environment for shyness to grow. Get out.
Let's take a phone call. We have Kim on the line. Hi, Kim. Could you turn your radio off, please? Thank you. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Ben and Kevin?
Hey, good, Kim. We still hear the reverb.
Okay. Let me do something else.
Please do.
Hello. That sounds better.
Yes. Okay. You can hear me?
Yep.
Sure.
Okay.
So have you ever been shy?
Yes. My mother died when I was 4.
Uh-huh.
And so I went through all of school, all the way to high school, being shy.
Yes.
Being afraid in social environments. Even like when I lived in a big building, and every time you went outside, it was always tons of people hanging outside. Like, at least 20, 25 people. So my fear every day was just to walk outside to go to the school or go to the store. I had to practice and stand in the hallway for 10 minutes before I would walk, just to walk through the crowd, not to speak to anybody, just to walk through. It was terrifying.
I guess the idea that someone might say something, might say hello, might try to interact with you, that was terribly anxiety provoking, wasn't it?
I didn't know what to do. Yeah. So I was like, what would I say if they spoke to me? Anything happened. So it was terrifying.
Can you see can you see yourself as that young person and describe for people what that felt like? I mean, I get an image of you just standing there preparing to go outside as a 4-year-old, as a 5-year-old, as a 6-year-old. And, you know, I want to come over and put my arm on your shoulder. Can you describe what that, can you see that and tell people what that was like physically?
I know that little girl in me that was like that even all the way through high school. It was like, to walk through the halls, to walk into classroom after everyone else and everybody's looking at me, everything, because I was the last of 7 children and I was the girl, and my dad had to raise us primarily, and he didn't know how to dress me or anything, so I wore my brother's hand-me-down, so I wore boys' clothes, and so I was so embarrassed. I didn't feel like a girl, and I felt so out of place and wrong, and I didn't have any friends, and they kept me in the house all the time, so it felt like literal death, like I was going to die. My heart used to pound out of my chest.
So, Kim, I have a question for you, since it sounds now that you have... You had the ability to pick up the phone and call us. It sounds like you've overcome some of your shyness, some of your social anxiety. And I'm wondering, at what point did you overcome that, and how did you overcome that?
It was amazing because everything you guys said was true. Like, I consider myself an introvert. I like to think, and I am shy in certain situations, but the way, everything you said was so on point. The way I overcame my shyness was... I would chit-chat. Like, one thing I did was...
That's it.
I would... I took a big... It kind of... I fell into it in fifth grade. They had to take an etiquette class, and it was... You had to walk with a book on your head, and you had to learn posture and things like that, so I stopped slouching. So when I walked, I stood upright, and they told us how to use eye contact. And they told us when you're walking, just smile at people.
There it is.
And so... As I got older, I just started, like, when I see a person, like, I get in the elevator, I'll smile at them. And if I see something that I like about them or what they have on, I'll give them a compliment. So I would initiate the conversation.
Well, it sounds like you fully got over it, Kim. And you did mention being the youngest of the family. I'm sure that if we took a poll, the youngest are the most vulnerable to the shyness.
My brothers used to always tell me to shut up if I tried to talk. Like,
they provoked the shyness. But they didn't beat it out of you. I just want to ask you one last thing before we take another call. What would you say to that 6-year-old who was shy back then? I mean, if you see yourself in that way now, what's something somebody could have said to you?
What people did say to me, they would say, "You're beautiful. You're okay." They would actually come out and speak to me, and those very special, nice people who did that, they really helped me, and I am so confident, and I speak with everybody, at the cashier, everywhere, whereas my younger family members, they say, "How do you do that? I want to be like you." And so I called in specifically today because I want my sister, she's 19, I'm going to make her listen to the archive of this show because she's so shy right now, and the social media is making it so much worse because she never has to address people personally and face-to-face, and I want her to come out of it.
Say her name right now on the air. What's her name?
Lavaja. Please, I want you to not be shy.
Yeah. Come on out, Lavaja. It's safe out here. It's safe. You're welcome out here, you know.
I appreciate you guys. I appreciate this show so much. I listen to you every single day. You're amazing.
Keep calling us, Kim. We need your calls.
You're very sweet. We appreciate your call, and we hope you continue to listen, and we hope to continue making shows that, you know, can help out and that you appreciate.
And I am going to visit the center, too, the Positive Mind Center. I want to come and see the environment and everything you said.
Feel
about
free.
How it's so nice.
We'll show you the studio. We'll let you sit down here. We'll put you on mic. All right. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye, Kim.
Bye.
212-757-5555 is the number to call.
So somewhere along the line, she learned to change her physiognomy and learned how to say hello to people and smile. I think smile is so underrated. It's such a big thing that you can do anywhere. You can just smile. If you sit right now and you just feel your face and feel the set of your mouth now, and you just turn up the ends of both sides of your mouth and smile, I guarantee you're going to feel different. And I mean, Kim is testimony to it, but just do it yourself. We're going to take another call, but just do that, and you'll see just changing your smile, your face from flat to a smile will change how you feel.
Changing your body language, yep. Changing your physical, yeah. Your physical situation to try to morph your emotional, spiritual, mental situation. Mm-hmm. Let's take another caller. We have Ann on the line. Hello, Ann.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Hey, thanks Ann. For calling in.
Yes, you know, I was thinking of with the shyness, and I was saying, I never thought of myself as being shy, as rather as being a quiet person who just mm-hmm. didn't have anything particular to contribute to the conversation or say anything to, you know, add. Yeah. I know my sister-in-law has said to me once, she said, you know, wow, Ann, you're a lot of fun. Whenever you were around, you never really said too much, so we didn't realize you could talk. I said, well, I know my husband liked to dominate the conversation, so rather than get into argument or disagreement, I would just keep quiet. She said,
wow,
no, you're
what a what a great strategy, Ann. I wonder how many wives are doing that with their husbands, just staying quiet in order not to create trouble.
Right, but I said, gee, I never thought of that as being shy. It was just, I was quiet.
Yeah.
Do you see any relationship with that?
It's a really, really good question. You might, like you say, just be an introvert, which is a person who is comfortable with being with people but being quiet with people.
Right.
So if that's the case, then you just might be a person who is comfortable. But the question is, if you're starting to feel people are judging you or thinking about you as you're sitting there in your quietness, then we'd say that you're shy. So it doesn't sound like you're shy. You know, the way you speak, often with shy people, you can even tell the way they speak. Their sentences often become stuttered or staccato or high than low and different things. And you sound to me to have a very even delivery of your speech. So you're probably not shy. But you probably have a lot of secrets, though, anyway, don't you?
Nah, not really. I'm pretty much in the open, you know, with things and whatnot, just like my daughter told me. She said, Mom, you fell asleep on the toilet, and not only did you fall asleep, you were snoring. I said, oh, my Lord, have mercy.
But you sound like you're comfortable in your world, Ann. So chances are you're not shy.
I like people, but I'm not the type of person who just have to be around people to be comfortable with myself. Like, I keep the radio on VAI all the time, day and night. Uh-huh. And that's my conversation, you know, because I'm learning a lot of stuff.
Of course.
And I enjoy learning. But I said, gee, I never thought of myself as really being shy, but just being a quiet person.
Yeah, I think so, too. It doesn't sound to me like you have this negative self-talk that a lot of shy people have, too.
So
we're going to thank you for calling us in. Shedding a light on shyness for everybody. It's not the same thing as enjoying being quiet. All right, you call us again, okay?
Okay, God bless.
You too.
Thank you, Ann. 212-757-5555 is the number to call. That's 212-757-5555. We're talking about shyness, social anxiety. Is it something you've struggled with in your life? Is it something you've overcome? Is it something you're looking to overcome? Give us a call. Let us know. 212-757-5555.
Yeah, so again, it's not being quiet that's necessarily being shy. I mean, it sounds like Anne is responsive. If someone were just to simply say something to her, she would immediately be able to respond to them. So it's not like she would have a trouble responding. So there is a difference between shyness and quiet. We have another call.
Yeah, we have Russ on the line. Hi, Russ. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, hello, guys.
Hey, Russ.
I also like to, thank you for your program. I always found that even, you know, when Armand died, I thought, well, how are you guys going to carry the load? But I think you're doing really well.
Hey, thanks very much.
Well, so one thing I'd comment on for starter is I always used to have that internal conversation and, you know, of self-criticism and always, like, you know, I'd be talking to somebody, but I'm having this other conversation at the same time, simultaneously.
Yes.
And I never really heard anyone verbalize it like you guys just did.
Yes.
So that was kind of like, even though I've gotten over my shyness to a large degree, it's just like nice to hear you guys say that, because then it goes, oh, yeah, that's what it was. Okay.
You're part of the 90%ers.
yeah.
You know, I hope that eases it up for you a little bit. Yes, it is this negative kind of separate dialogue that we're having simultaneous with a person. They might not even think that we're shy. Do other people think you've been shy?
Probably in, well, like public speaking, I, even though if I'm in the in a classroom, I can raise my hand. I'm always raising my hand. For some reason, I feel safe because I initiated it. I can control it. I didn't have to do that. But when you, you know, you're forced to do like an oral, you know, speaking, you know, then it's like, whoa, what the heck? You know, I have to do this. And there's all this, people are looking at me, and then like I'm standing, they're all sitting. It's like totally different.
Yeah. That's,
and then fear building on fear and just all that panic.
The snowball effect. Yes, they say that public speaking is the number one fear. People would rather die than to have to speak in public.
Yeah. And even when I think I can do it and I feel like confident because I got over my shyness, this happened to me this year. I was at this class at college for unemployment, and we had to give this discussion, and then, like, everyone could pick their own topic. I got up there, I'm like, man, I'm freaking out. I can't believe this.
You had the sweats and the heart palpitations?
The heart palpitations, and I was just like, I felt bad about myself, and then, anyway, I got over it because there was a follow-up speech, and the girl said, wow, you did so much better the second time, so the familiarity with it and the feelings and everything quickly dissipated, but it was just such a totally, you know, unique thing to do that I have no experience doing. So, the other thing I wanted to mention was in the case of directly speaking to someone, and I'll give you what a lot of guys might have to deal with would be shyness with women.
Yes.
So what I found out was with me, one way I got over that was, you know, let's say I'm not shy with men, you know, and then
right.
You know, I just pretend they're a man.
That's a great idea.
How do you
and
do that?
Like, that's a great idea.
And then the thing was, after a while, you're talking and you're going, wow, you know, I'm smooth here. This is great.
Yes.
And then you go, I guess I'm not that shy about women. You know, I can do this, you know. So, and then the other thing was that helped me was I'm really smart about a lot of specific topics.
Yes.
So let's say I play golf or something, and I'm at a golf course. Immediately, if you know something about anything that you can talk about and you feel confident about it, start with that, and then you can start talking the small talk later. You know,
it's
just gives you the confidence
to
go on.
It's a great point,
you
know, and it goes back to what we were saying earlier as far as strategies to overcome shyness is finding a confidence. So what you're saying is find a topic of conversation that you're already confident in.
Yeah.
And use that as a way
build
away from the shyness. Russ, thank you so much for the call.
Thanks, Russ.
And your kind words. We appreciate you. Thank you
call
for listening.
Call us again.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Yeah.
212-757-5555 is the number
you know,
to call.
He makes a good point, which in therapy we call it exposure therapy. And he exposed himself to doing this talk in public a second time, and you know, he did so much better rather than be crippled by the first time experience, which people with social phobia would be. They would be crippled by it and they would not go to that situation ever again. Russ challenged himself and did a very hard thing and got through it and did better, and that has almost erased his shyness in other areas of his life. So
you
thanks for calling, Russ.
Thank you, Russ. And we've been asking you out there to call us with your experiences around shyness and social anxiety. And, you know, it's worth mentioning that it's probably, you know, self-selected pool of people who will call who are simply not shy and not socially anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
if you are, it's very difficult even to pick up a phone and call some strangers, certainly to be on the radio. Kevin, do you remember your first time on the radio?
Yes, I remember.
Yeah.
I wish, you know, and I was just me and Armand, actually.
Yeah.
And I expected not to be asked a question, but he asked me three questions that
right.
day. And we're talking 4 or 5 years ago, but very, very shy. And actually, before the show, he said, you're going to do well. You're going to do fine.
Oh, yeah. You know, Armand said the
and
same thing to me.
And that just made me feel at tremendous ease. But then I was like, don't call on me. Don't call on me.
And it's funny. I had been on several radio stations prior to WBAI. And yet when Armand brought me into the studio, he said the same thing. He said, you'll be great. And, I didn't really expect him to ask me to participate as much as he did.
Yeah.
And I remember how shy I felt behind the mic. I remember how my chest felt like it was constricting. I had trouble breathing. I could feel my heartbeat when I inhaled, when I took a breath.
Yeah.
I could feel my heart beating almost in my throat.
Sure.
So, yeah, that was a shy experience, a nervous experience.
There you go. And there, so everybody, you know, people could tell themselves, I'm shy at a party if I don't know anybody. If I don't know anybody, I'm guaranteed to be shy there.
Sure.
But some people aren't.
So, again, I recognize we're asking those of you to call in with your experiences, and we are probably going to, have some of you self-select yourself out of participating simply because you're shy. If that's the case, remember, you can always send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org.
Yeah.
And we love to get your feedback, your comments on shows. We are doing a lot of work on the show, on our online archives.
Mm-hmm.
Unaffiliated with BAI.
Mm-hmm.
There are always the WBAI archives, but we have maintained the Positive Mind archives going back a long time, and we're doing some work on that.
Yeah.
And you can feel free to email us if you're too shy to call us today. Send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org. And you can always reach us here when we're not on the air. If you're looking for Kevin, or if you want to leave a message for myself or anyone else here at the center, 212-757-4488. That is the center line off of the air. Right now, we're going to take a phone call. I think we have time for one last call. I believe we have Ronald on the line. You there?
Yes.
Hi. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for holding, Ronald.
What's your experience with shyness?
Okay. Basically, you know, I've always been a little bit on the shy side in confronting most things. And now I have multiple myeloma, and I'm 77 years old. I have high blood pressure. So, fear, you know, shyness to a great degree is a fear of anything outside of you, especially people,
yes,
based on your limited perception of yourself. So instead of trying to transfix the mind or transfer, work on your body.
Go ahead, say
clean
more.
Clean your body more. Exercise wherever you feel weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Try to be a better, more physically in what you do.
Yes. Do you take deep
and
breaths?
The mind will naturally follow.
Yes.
But it's a lifetime thing.
Oh, thank you for that great, great, great lesson, Ronald. Yes, the mind will follow the body. And you're telling us one great thing. You were used to be afraid of confrontation and conflict, and do you take deep breaths before you know?
I live on slow breathing from Dr. Majid Ali.
Yes.
On BAI.
Okay, so you've learned some lessons. But you're right. I mean, breathing, changing, just the simple thing of changing your breathing can make you less shy and make you be able to face your challenges. You've called us.
Kidding. Oxygen is everything.
Oxygen is there. Listen, we're going to take one last call. We appreciate you calling us back, Ronald. We've heard from you before.
I gotta thank you. I know I'm a little bit over, kind of hyper. But,
we love it. We love
it. I really got to thank you.
Thank you, my friend.
Once you're taking my call. Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Well.
Thanks, Ronald. Let's see if we can get one more call
in. Yes, he has called a few times, and he always gives great advice.
212-757-5555. We have time for one more quick call. If you want to share with us your experience, your perspective on shyness, social anxiety.
And remember times when you weren't shy. I mean, every shy person does have memories of when they weren't shy. I wasn't shy at certain holidays, you know, when I knew some good stuff was coming. Suddenly my shyness would go away. So I think that's a technique, a strategy. If you're in a situation where you're shy, why this time? It might be just something like Ronald says, that physically you just need to change your physiology to face this, that there's nothing special about this situation as opposed to one where you are not shy.
We're running right up against the end of the program. We have time for one more quick caller. We have Ed on the line. Hi, Ed. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
No doubt.
Yeah, I was painfully shy when I was a young child.
Yeah.
I recollect saying to my mom when she was in the park, she would talk to people in the parking lot when we'd go grocery shopping and stuff like that. And I would always, when she'd get back to the car, I'd say, who are you talking to? Why are you talking to that person?
Mm.
So my perspective was like anybody outside of our circle, I was pretty fearful of them. And so that was in the midst of a familial divorce before, many years before they actually divorced.
Mm.
I picked up on all those signs, and I kind of retreated on account, I think, on account of what was happening. So anyway, this went on to kindergarten, to grade school, eventually I observed that, wow, I'm shy.
Yeah.
I was like that kid that if you spoke to me, I would break out in tears.
Yeah.
I could not articulate it. I didn't know what was going on with me. Of course, I was a child. I couldn't. And I just kind of retreated into my own sort of world. I love to draw. I love to, you know, I would just get lost in my imagination.
Are you an artist
at the same
on someone?
Yeah. I am. And I'm a musician and artist.
There
and
you go.
Sure. So I find great solace in being, I have no problem with being alone for very long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, you know, I get cabin fever and I need the gregariousness. So I did observe other people, how they were. And I saw that as a young child, I saw that this wasn't working for me. And eventually I started to become, like the person that my mother was in the parking lot.
You're practicing. You're practicing.
Yeah, practice. Ed,
we got to go, but I can still hear that shyness in there. Keep doing it. Keep saying hi to people. And you bring up a good thing. Tune in to us tomorrow. We're going to take up more of this. And maybe give us a call tomorrow because we're going to take this further. You're bringing up something that I think people need to hear about, being raised in a stressful environment.
And a big thank you to all of our callers today and everyone who listened, everyone who tuned in throughout the fund drive and contributed to WBAI. Thank you to everyone, everyone, as always, for being a part of this journey that we're taking together. And again, you can always find us here. Send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org, or come see us at the Positive Mind Center on West 57th Street. We're here 6 days a week, pretty much.
Sometimes seven. Depending.
So tune in every Tuesday and Wednesday, though. We're here on WBAI Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 1 p.m. I'm Ben Starr with Kevin O'Donohue. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back tomorrow at 1. Take care, my friends.